Welcome to Health Talk, brought to you by White Plains Hospital. I'm Laura Smith. My guest is Dr. R.A. Bunim. He is a gastroenterologist here at White Plains Hospital. And today's topic, fatty liver disease. That's something that I know is it's sort of a buzzword. People are talking about it these days. And I'm sitting there asking myself, do I have it? Could I have it? How do you get it? All these types of things. So let's get into this, Dr. Bunim, and let's just talk about the 101 of fatty liver disease. Can you tell us just basically what it is to start off with?
First of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me here.
Yes.
So fatty liver is a very loose term. And in scientific terms, what it really just means is that more than 5% of the liver has fat within it. Now, that can have many consequences. It can be completely benign. And differentiating between the two can be difficult. So fatty liver disease in medical terms is called NAFLD, or non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which is probably what you're referring to. The other type of fatty liver disease actually is from alcohol itself.
Mm-hmm.
If we actually did a biopsy on someone who's an alcoholic and or someone who's morbidly obese with type 2 diabetes and looked at the two of them, it would look exactly identical. So a lot of it does come down to history in terms of fatty liver. So as I mentioned, the non-alcoholic fatty liver, which is what we're going to be focusing on for the remainder of the day today.
Okay.
Is a broad term. It's subdivided into just bland steatosis, also known in the medical community as NAFL, N-A-F-L.
Okay.
Or then sometimes that fat can become overwhelming in the body and you develop inflammation, and then it becomes known as NASH, or non-alcoholic steatohepatitis.
I see.
And unfortunately, when that happens, that inflammation can lead to further damage within the liver that can lead to scarring and even cirrhosis or liver cancer.
Okay. So the one, obviously, you said caused by alcohol consumption. Is it is everybody prone to it if they drink a lot of alcohol? I mean, does it have to be really a lot? Like, you have to be drinking a vast amount a day to get like that? Or is it just from casual use of alcohol?
So there's certainly recommended quantities of alcohol. For instance, for a woman, it's about up to 2 drinks per day per week.
Okay.
For a man, it's up 2 to 3 drinks per day.
Mm-hmm.
Are considered to be the limits. But again, this varies for each person. Some people can drink more than that and never have a problem.
Right.
Others may drink less and certainly develop complications. You can think of it the same way as smoking. People will say, oh, they hardly ever smoked. I don't know how they developed lung cancer. And meanwhile, you know, people who smoke like a chimney and end up...
And they're 103 years old.
Exactly.
Exactly. So for the non-alcoholic type, and you said diabetes, perhaps, or diabetes too, is it from eating? Is it from types of foods or the wrong foods? What would cause it? For non-alcoholic purposes.
So there's a lot of different causes for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Certainly the most common in this country are going to be type 2 diabetes as well as obesity. Other conditions such as polycystic ovary syndrome might be a risk factor, thyroid disease. There are certain medications certainly that can cause fatty liver disease as well. And probably genetic conditions. But a lot of times also, if there's a family history of fatty liver disease, you're probably at a higher risk of developing it.
I see. Okay. And you said it's hard to diagnose, or it's a difficult system in terms of getting there. How do you diagnose it? Well, especially in a young person.
So it's interesting you should bring up young people. Did you actually know that fatty liver disease is the number one cause of liver problems in young people?
No, I didn't know. I don't know really young people having liver problems.
So unfortunately, I've been involved in too many liver biopsies on young individuals with elevated liver enzymes for fatty liver. And it's really becoming an epidemic in this country and is even becoming the number one indication for liver transplant, especially in young individuals.
And why would it be on the rise? It must be a lifestyle disease then, or something that's being caused by habits or something.
So it's interesting you should bring that up. There's actually even a New York Times article this past Monday where they actually started discussing about fatty liver disease and projections. Right now, it's estimated there's about 85 million people in this country with fatty liver disease.
Good heavens.
About 20% of them, so about 17 million people, it's estimated have non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. And so we estimate loosely about 20% of those, so that comes down to about 3.5 million people, actually have cirrhosis as a result of it. So it's clearly one of the most common causes of cirrhosis in this country right now. And the projections are, based on this New York Times article, that in 10 years from now, it is going to be more than half of the country is going to be obese. And even in severely obese, they say more than 35 states will have, more than 35% of the individuals will be severely obese. So that's quite a lot. And they say, you know, this cost to society at that point in time from fatty liver disease in 10 years from now is going to be over $1 trillion.
So are you basically saying that the cirrhosis for especially like the young people, and it's happening because they're overweight and because they're eating the wrong foods?
Yes.
Is it there's
most,
a direct correlation?
I think it has to do with eating lifestyle. It's a much more sedentary lifestyle. People are not getting out. They're not exercising. They're spending a lot more time on their phones, on computers, mm-hmm. on other electronic devices. And the other thing is, I think the food choices that people are making, they're a lot of high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. which is certainly implicated, as well as a lot of processed foods.
Wow. That's a little bit scary. So how is it, how are you able to treat it? If somebody, how do you know somebody has it? What are they experiencing?
So the first step is if someone come, you know, if you go to a doctor and they say, oh, you have fatty liver disease and, you know, you need to go see a specialist and they come to me. The first thing I'm going to do is exclude any other causes of liver disease. So you do a workup for viral hepatitis, autoimmune hepatitis, certain metabolic abnormalities such as iron overload, copper overload, alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, as well as a thorough review of their medications to make sure there's no other risk factors that this person has.
Mm-hmm.
After that, you know, you might get obtain imaging, and the question is also how they were diagnosed initially. It might just be because of imaging that showed the liver, they said they had a fatty liver, or because their liver enzymes were abnormal. The scary thing, actually, is they've done biopsies on people with risk factors, and they found that up to a third of people with a fatty liver may have completely normal liver enzymes. So normal liver enzymes don't completely exclude the fact that you have a fatty liver either. So mm-hmm. it can be a scary disease. And some of these people even have advanced fibrosis and are bordering on cirrhosis with completely normal liver enzymes. So, you know,
it's very complex.
It becomes even more complex because, unfortunately, all of the blood tests that we have available, there's no blood test that can distinguish just bland fatty liver, so bland steatosis, from what I described earlier as NASH, which is the fatty liver with inflammation that causes the damage. So really it relies on we use surrogate markers, and if we try to look for damage to the liver. We use some mathematical formulas of the blood test sometimes to estimate if there's any damage. We try non-invasive testing. There's something called a FibroScan, which is vibration-controlled elastography. And what that does is it basically takes vibrations in the liver and it gives you a measurement based on how the sound waves flow through the liver, whether or not there's fat there, and also if there's any damage. But in some cases, a liver biopsy is necessary.
But somebody, let's just say, you know, maybe I'm experiencing it. What are my symptoms? What is something that would make me go to the doctor and say, I better go and see if I have fatty liver disease? What am I experiencing? Anything?
Unfortunately, there are absolutely no symptoms.
Wow, that's really something.
So it is completely picked up incidentally. As I mentioned, you go to the doctor and or you had some abdominal pain and they got an ultrasound and they say, oh, you have fatty liver or your liver enzymes are a little elevated.
Okay. And so is there is it possible to reverse fatty liver disease?
Fortunately, there is. You can certainly reverse fatty liver disease, and you can even reverse damage to the liver, and possibly even cirrhosis can be reversible from fatty liver disease. However, it does require aggressive lifestyle modifications.
Yes, like, go ahead.
So if you were to lose about 10% of your body weight, they've shown in studies that in 1 year repeat biopsy, after losing 10% of your body weight, there has been significant reversal in steatosis and even in fibrosis, or the scarring of the liver. So if you're able, you know, and that usually requires dieting, eat, you know, certainly changing the way you eat, as well as exercise. There are small studies showing that exercise can be very beneficial, and usually cardiovascular exercise, 30 minutes three times a week, can lead to decreased visceral adiposity, so decreased fat, as well as decreased fat within the liver.
It's amazing to me, but almost every doctor I speak with, and no matter what their specialty is, what part of the body, the same message is always there: lifestyle changes for prevention and for reversal in these cases. So fatty liver disease, something we're hearing more about, but thank you for really opening up it and making it understandable for us today. Dr. Ari Bunim, gastroenterologist here at White Plains Hospital, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.